Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link with me, Assumpta Latos. Coming up, the announcement of Boko Haram's allegiance to Islamic State IS has been received with mixed feelings in Nigeria.
I am even confused whether the leader of this IS is even aware of the existence of Nigeria, not to talk of a sect or insurgent pledging allegiance to them.
It's something that Nigerian government have to be serious about the issue to be able to tackle the problem before it reaches to certain extent beyond control.
And Liberia is hopeful after the last known Ebola patient was discharged from hospital.
That's excitement. We are all happy. And we hope to make 10 days for 21 days, which will be March 13, and for 42 days in April, so that WHO can have the confidence and the work and know that Liberia Ebola crisis is under control.
Stay with us for those stories and more coming up in the next 25 minutes.
Top story.
Chad and Niger have launched a joint army operation against Boko Haram in Nigeria on Sunday, intensifying a regional offensive designed to defeat the Islamic group. This comes after Nigeria's militant Islamist group Boko Haram has sworn allegiance to Islamic State IS, which rules a self-declared caliphate in parts of Iraq and Syria. Boko Haram is the latest in a string of militant organizations to lend their support to the terrorist group. From northern Nigeria, Mohammed Alamin with reactions.
Nigerians have received Boko Haram's announcement with mixed feelings, given the violence activities done by the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. Here are some of the views of people I spoke to.
The government is saying they are fighting this insurgency of Boko Haram. And yet, this sect is every day producing and releasing tapes saying this or that. So there is a serious confusion on the government side saying they are making progress on their fight against them. And the recent release pledging their allegiance to IS, which is far away. I am even confused whether the leader of this IS is even aware of the existence of Nigeria. Not to talk of a sect or insurgents pledging allegiance to them.
The issue of aligning with the IS, in fact, is something that Nigerian government have to be serious about the issue to be able to tackle the problem before it reaches to certain extent beyond control. Because the ISIS, in fact, are very strong. So we have to try and make a reasonable contribution to tackle this issue of Boko Haram before it reaches to certain extent beyond our control. We have very good military, but there is problem within their system. This issue of Boko Haram is something that they could have crushed it long time ago. Had it been that they have taken these measures they are taking now in the past 6 years or 4 years, it could have been history by now.
Honestly speaking, they resemble each other, unless they are different in name. But this message to Nigerian government, it shows that less Nigerian government be prepared seriously to see that they get rid of these people. So less federal government of Nigeria support their own army so that they can fight them successfully.
Ibrahim Aliyu, a security expert in Nigeria, believed that with the new development, the war against Boko Haram will now go global and it is going to be difficult for Nigerian government to now contain them.
I think what the Nigerian government should do, one, is to sustain the momentum of their war against terrorism. Two, to try to see if they can bring those people to the table to discuss, because without that discussion, I feel it's going to be difficult to contain them.
The message did not come as a surprise to most Nigerians who for long debated the extent of Boko Haram's relationship to other jihadist groups. Mustafa Ibrahim is a political analyst in Nigeria.
Before this time, the high command of Boko Haram have more or less realigned themselves with what the ISIS have been doing within the Middle East. Right now that they are facing a lot of pressure from Nigeria, Chad, Cameroon forces.
As at the time of filing this report, there was no official reaction from Nigerian government on the new development.
That was Mohammed Alamin. So, is Boko Haram's allegiance to IS a real thing or is it just a propaganda move? I put that question to Manji Cheto, Vice President at Teneo Intelligence, a risk analysis organization based in London.
I don't actually think at this point nothing changes tomorrow. Boko Haram has, over the last 6 years, constituted a significant threat not just to Nigeria, but also to the neighboring countries. Its decision to actually pledge allegiance, if true, effectively suggests that the group is much more aware of a broader movement across the globe that reflects the kind of objective that it has. But in terms of actually a joint operation with ISIL that fundamentally shakes the security threat in Nigeria, it's very doubtful for me. If nothing else, the geographical proximity or lack thereof between the two groups makes it very difficult for them to actually coordinate. However, it is quite symbolic.
So what you're saying is that Boko Haram just want to spread fear now to people in Nigeria?
Absolutely. I mean, it's fear, but it's also a reflection of the group's desperation. I mean, we know that over the last month or so, the group has been hammered, not just by Nigerian forces, but actually primarily or in part due to cooperation with neighboring countries. And if you look at the messages coming out of Boko Haram, there's definitely the slight change of tone away from threatening Nigeria to actually actively trying to recruit more membership. For me, there's a reflection there of a group that is actually kind of feeling weak, feeling vulnerable, trying to actually still maintain a semblance of a formidable foe.
Chad and Niger have launched an offensive on Sunday. How different will this incursion be to many others done before?
What has fundamentally changed, and the reason why Boko Haram is in the position that it is now, a slightly weaker position than what it was, say, a year ago, is effectively because neighboring countries are effectively now providing support for Nigeria, primarily on the border areas. Because, I mean, if we think about when the state of emergency came into play in Nigeria in May 2013, all the Nigerian army successfully managed to do was actually push Boko Haram from urban centers into remote parts of northeast Nigeria. The northeast of Nigeria obviously borders Niger, Chad and Cameroon. Now the support of both Chad and Niger, I mean, those are frontier areas that effectively the group used to be able to kind of find safe havens in. And that fundamentally changes the game. But how long that cooperation lasts between Nigeria and its neighbours, we already know that the tensions, particularly between Chad and Niger, over the issue of right to pursuit. While the neighbouring countries are arguing that they do want to be able to push Boko Haram onto Nigerian soil, the Nigerian army, for historical reasons, because of dispute with neighbouring countries, is a bit hesitant to let neighbouring countries actually cross into deep into its territory. So I think some of that friction actually could potentially undermine the level of cooperation we're seeing right now.
Manji Cheto speaking from London. You're listening to Deutsche Welle's Africa Link with me, Assumpta Latus.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
The countdown on having Liberia declared Ebola free is on. On Thursday last week, the country discharged the last known confirmed Ebola patient. There have been no new cases known in the country for over 2 weeks now. The disease has killed over 3,000 Liberians since the outbreak started in March last year. After nearly a year of struggling to tackle the virus, Liberia is now on its way to get rid of the disease. Julius Kanuba has filed this report, which begins with an account of Beatrice Yodoro, the 58-year-old teacher who managed to survive Ebola but lost her daughter.
Beatrice Yodoro said that while she was excited to be free of Ebola, it was important for Liberians to carry on being careful.
They should continue with the necessary precaution, because what happened to my daughter that killed her, we didn't know it to be Ebola from the beginning.
Madame Yodoro explained that she contracted the Ebola virus while caring for her sick daughter without knowing that she was suffering from the disease. The discharge of this last known Ebola patient represents a major milestone for Liberia in the battle against Ebola, says Talbot Yenswa, Liberia's assistant health minister and head of the Ebola Incidence Management Center.
That's excitement. We are all happy. And we hope to maintain this for 21 days, which will be March 13, and for 42 days in April, so that WHO can have the confidence and the work and know that Liberia Ebola crisis is under control.
Yenswa was quick to point out that the release of the last killed Ebola patient does not mean that Ebola is now over in Liberia. While ordinary Liberians are generally happy over the progress, many warn against complacency and the hiding of sick people.
Whenever you are sick, do not hide yourself. Report yourself early and you get early treatment, and as God grace, you will come to.
I advise that anybody that feels sick, you should go to the ETU so that they can do your test. When they do the test and the test is negative, you will surely go home. But don't stay there until it gets late.
One area of concern is the education sector. Schools have reopened, and although new hygiene measures, including washing of hands and regular temperature checks, were introduced, there are fears that not all schools are implementing the measures. Ibrahim Fontu is the school administrator at the Muslim Congress High School in Monrovia.
We have been trying our possible best to ensure that they stick to the measures given by the MOE so as to be in line with the government pronouncement of Ebola prevention. It's difficult, but we are coping because our students are very much understanding.
If all goes well within the coming 1 month, Liberia will finally be able to declare victory in the fight against Ebola.
Julius Kanuba reporting there. In Germany's capital, Berlin, the International Tourism Fair, ITB, has just come to a close. It's the world's leading annual travel trade show. This year, it boasted more than 10,000 exhibitors from nearly 200 countries around the world. Three exhibition halls were dedicated to Africa. Christiane Vieira went along for Africa Link, and here is her report.
Magnificent images of nature and animals invited visitors to stop at Botswana's stand at the International Tourism Fair. Last year, the southern African country attracted almost 2.5 million tourists. Most were from the US, the UK, and Germany. Tabo Brian Ditebe, the Botswana tourism CEO, told me.
Of course, the numbers from continental Europe and Germany struggled a bit in the last 2 years because of the economic downturn that we know affected the entire world. But you see, they didn't drop down. We managed to maintain the numbers. We're seeing a bit of growth ever since most economies started recovering.
Tourism accounts for about 5% of Botswana's GDP. The country has taken part in the ITB for 13 years now and is responding to tourists' changing wishes.
We're trying to focus more on sports and adventure activities. We're trying to focus more on the culture and heritage component.
Another popular tourist destination in Africa is Zimbabwe. Last year, it notched up more than 270,000 visitors from overseas. Since last November, Zimbabwe and Zambia have been testing a tourist visa that is valid for both countries. This is within the framework of the Kavango-Zambezi Transfrontier Conservation Area, known as CASA for short. Zambian Minister of Tourism and Art, Jean Kapata, believes this pilot project will soon be implemented at the other CASA countries, Angola, Botswana, and Namibia.
We share the Victoria Falls, we share the National Park, we share the Kariba Dam, and it was important that we start a pilot project between the two countries because we have a lot in common. And as far as we are concerned, so far so good, it has worked very well for us.
At the end of a busy day at the ITB, exhibitors were able to enjoy a happy hour with customers and, of course, with the African feeling.
Christiane Vieira reporting. Now time to sit back and enjoy the Crossroads Generation, produced by the Learning by Ear team.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome back to Crossroads Generation. We are getting near the end of this third season. This is the 21st of 26 episodes, and we are going to start right away.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
Just a quick recap of what's happened so far. Previously, an accidental encounter with a kind lady in his neighborhood opened up a whole new world of possibilities for Dan.
Could you teach me how to make those ornaments? You want to learn knitting?
Yes, please.
But things aren't looking as good for everybody right now. The local politician, Mukaraba, has just been fined by the judge because he was involved in a case of illegal adoption. University student Tina has been struggling to find the money to feed her brother and sisters, so she took a job in a club as a call girl. And 18-year-old Mercy was just talking to her mother about the marriage proposal she received from her boyfriend Nikki when her phone rang. It was Tina with some very bad news.
Something has happened to Trudy.
What?
She's dead.
No, you're lying. Trudy's not dead. She can't be dead.
Mercy is devastated. She and Trudy had been friends for a long time, and they just started studying journalism at university together. Mercy is still in shock as we start this 21st episode entitled Justice for Trudy.
No, no.
Calm down, Mercy, please. Come on, let's sit down over here on your bed. It's good that you could get back to the university so fast.
Okay, Tina. Tell me, what happened? How, I mean...
The police didn't want to say anything, but the students who live in that building said they had a shot.
What? Trudy was shot? I thought she must have had an accident or something.
No, this wasn't an accident.
What do you mean?
Everybody is saying it was a robbery gone wrong. That she was shot by thieves who'd broken into the students' hostel. But
what? Thieves? Oh, no. Maybe I could have helped her if I'd been there. Oh, why did I have to go see my mother and Linda that day? I could have waited until the weekend. Maybe...
Mercy, please. Listen to me. I don't think either you or I could have done anything. And I don't think it was thieves who did that to her.
What? What do you mean?
Mercy, there's something I need to tell you.
What?
What's that? Sounds like all the other students are gathering outside.
We want security.
We want justice.
We want
security.
Okay. This one's done now too. I'm getting faster and better every day. I think my teacher will be very proud. Man, if anyone had told me a month ago that I, Dan Kanyama, would be spending my days knitting. Come in. It's open.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Nancy. You are late today.
Sorry, Dan. The garbage trucks were late too. But we managed to get more plastic bags than usual. Here they are.
Ah, great. Thank you. Here's your money.
Cool. See you tomorrow.
Bye. Who's calling now? Hello?
Hey, Dan.
Billy, nice of you to call. Where have you been hiding, man?
Just around and about. Listen, are you still looking for a job?
Well, no, not really. Why? Did you find one?
Yes, I did. Guess what? I am now an assistant contractor in a big construction company.
Wow, really? Good for you, man. How did you...
My cousin is the boss there. He hooked me up.
Oh, I see.
Listen, the reason I'm calling is that there's a supervisory role on one of our sites, and I suggested you.
Oh, thanks. That's really nice of you. But I don't know, Billy.
What do you mean you don't know?
You see, I really did start my own business, and it looks as if it's going quite well.
What business? Burrowing in garbage like a rat?
Well, that one didn't quite work out, but I've actually found a way to make women's handbags out of garbage.
What? So now you stay at home and sew like an old lady?
Actually, it's knitting, not sewing.
That's even better.
Well, it pays my bills, and I really like it.
I can't believe this. You're letting a good job go so you can sit at home making handbags.
Billy, I like doing what I am doing. And besides, it's good for the environment.
Okay, Mr. Environment. But don't come crying to me when it all goes wrong, okay?
Tina, all the
other students are protesting for Trudy. You're right, Mercy. Let's open the window to see what's going on.
We want justice!
We want justice!
It seems that robbers can easily get into the hostels.
Yeah!
And they have killed our friend.
Yeah!
This cannot happen again.
No!
Justice for Trudy!
Justice for Trudy!
Security for the students!
Security for the students!
As a first step, we are going to protect our hostels ourselves.
Yes, yes.
But we are also addressing all the politicians.
No.
They lie to us.
Yes.
And make all kinds of promises whenever they want to be elected.
Yes.
But once they get into power, they do nothing at all about the insecurity in our country. Congress power!
Congress do you know power. Them, Tina? Not all of them. I think it's great that they're doing this for Trudy. Yes, but... Shh, Mercy, let me hear what they're saying.
We want justice.
We want justice.
They are now busy traveling all around making more false promises in order to get themselves re-elected.
Yes.
Down with the politicians.
Down with the politicians.
Down with the politicians.
Down with the politicians.
Are we going to allow the politicians to lie to us again? Congress power.
Tina, shouldn't we be with them? Maybe that's the last thing we can do for Trudy.
Wait, Mercy. There's something else we can do. It has to do with why Trudy was killed.
Right. You said you wanted to tell me something about that?
Close the window.
Huh? Okay.
Mercy, this has to remain between me and you, okay?
I promise.
I think Mukaraba was behind Trudy's death.
No. That can't be it. What does he have to do with anything? Trudy wrote that article about him and the baby ages ago, and he's been found guilty of illegal adoption now. It's all out in the open.
That's not what I'm talking about. Trudy came to see me about a story she wanted to do for the student radio. It was about the brothel in town.
I don't understand.
It's run by Mukaraba.
What? How do you know?
Well... I told you about my job, remember?
Yes.
We are not supposed to know, but I'm sure Mukaraba is the one behind that racket. I've had him in the office several times talking to Mr. M. He's the one who speaks on his behalf.
Tina, are you sure?
Yes. At first, I didn't want Trudy to do the investigation, but then I decided to help her. I was her source. We got some pretty explosive material. She was just about to write a report on...
Tina! What did you get yourselves involved in?
I wanted to tell people the truth about Mukaraba, and I wanted to help all the other girls who are being treated so badly.
But that puts you in danger too.
If they knew that I was Trudy's source, they would have done something about it by now. They don't know, and they won't find out. I've quit my job there. I'm not going to work as a call girl anymore.
What? Wow, that's great. But still, I mean, what if they found something at Trudy's place that gave you away? You just said it was really explosive material.
It is. But Trudy didn't have it with her. I've got it right here. And I'm going to make sure it gets broadcast.
What? This is too dangerous, Tina. You have to get rid of it. You've seen what's happened to our friend.
I owe it to Trudy. And to be honest... I could use your help.
And with that, we come to the end of this emotional episode. What will Mercy do? If you missed part of this or any previous episode, don't worry. Just visit our website dw.de/LBE. Until then, take care.
And now a quick reminder of our main stories. Experts on terrorism say Boko Haram's pledge of allegiance to terror group Islamic State IS is merely a propaganda move. In Liberia, the countdown on being declared Ebola-free has begun after the country discharged the last confirmed Ebola patient. And we have also been hearing about Berlin's International Tourism Fair, which this year has boasted more than 10,000 exhibitors from nearly 200 countries around the globe. And that's it for today. For questions and comments, send us an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a text message to +49 160 9575 9510. or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Till next time, I'm Assumpta Latus. Have a good day and bye-bye.